Hello and welcome to the KungFuology.com podcast. This is series 2 and episode 6. My name is Jake Newby and with me as ever is Andy Best.
Hello.
And as this is episode 6 of series 2, that means it's the last episode of the series.
Oh.
There you go. It's our professional sound effects there. So that means we're going to take a little bit of a break. Again, even though we actually only had a break a few weeks ago, but, well, you know.
This is the China thing, isn't it? That, you know, you have holidays to mark the end of a project or a school term, or there's a Christmas holiday like that you have as an expat, and that it always clashes with the Chinese public holidays, which are quite different. And, you know, so we had this thing where our season 2 fell across Chinese New Year, so it had a break, and this is kind of a familiar situation to people with their jobs as well, like, you know, conflicting holidays coming in the middle of each other. So we apologize for that. So when are we back?
I think we'll be back probably late April, early May, around May the 1st, maybe, do you think?
Yeah,
May Day. Yeah, like our favorite Taiwanese band or wherever they are.
Yeah, and we both shouted May Day at the same time. Like, there's so many meanings there, like an aeroplane going down. We were both going down.
You're trying to suggest that our podcast is crashing and burning.
Or that we're engaging in something or other. Of course, we're both Brits, so quirky Brit fact, since we're not really telling many jokes today. It's the season finale, which for us means
somber.
Mean. An anti-climax. Any excuse to use the word climax. Yeah, May Day, which is celebrated here, is International Labour Day, like it should be all around the world. But in England, it's actually one of those quirky pagan festivals characterized by dancing around the maypole. And my park did actually have a maypole.
I think there was one like near me actually in the village where I grew up. Yeah.
So, you know, you attach ribbons to the maypole and the little boys and girls dance around and intertwine. So by the end of it, the pole is then wrapped in ribbons. And then we all go up onto the hill overlooking the valley and sacrifice one of them to the forest for the crops for the spring.
Yeah, well, maybe we can do that live on the podcast, like when we come back.
Yeah, we can do a May Day sacrifice.
Yeah, that'd be nice. There you go.
All right, a bit of British culture for you there.
There you go. So you can start counting down the days, May the 1st, thereabouts, we'll be back.
So, you know, one lucky listener can bring their son or daughter
to the task them.
And we'll sacrifice them to
the KungFuology.com altar.
Yeah, and it'll be the KungFuology.com spring sacrifice May Day ritual. Great.
Okay. Sounds good. Something to look forward to.
So what's going on today then?
So today we will take a look back at the gigs from last weekend, including Local King 3, and we'll have a bit of a chat about some of the issues that came out of those gigs, and particularly the one on the Friday night. And that will be sort of our chat bit. It will be kind of incorporated into that review, just talking about some of the things that went on there. Jägermeister. once we've taken a look back at what happened last weekend, we'll take a look forward to the coming I was going to say this weekend's gigs, but it's kind of actually kicking off starting from Wednesday night. As we spoke about last week on the pod, Dre Festival is going on right about now, and that means there's loads and loads of gigs to talk about. They're happening all over town, so we've got a lot of previews to rattle through, so that's why the sort of chat bit is going to be sort of a little bit smaller and stuck in the review section. I know that sort of throws our normal structure out of whack, and that some of you might not be able to handle that, in which case just go back and listen to some old podcasts instead and ignore this one.
Yeah, take your pills. And you mentioned the word Jägermeister there, and it's going to come up later.
Subconscious.
And I just want to say that even talking about it in a critical fashion, it's still mentioning the name and you know, giving them a bit of airtime. So I'd like to counterbalance that, keep our integrity, by just mentioning that Jägermeister is vile filth that's not good for cleaning out a sewer with. So anyway, let's continue. So we were both at Local King 3, Gunormang.
Yep.
On
Friday night.
Friday night at Mao.
Friday night at Mao.
5 bands.
Yep. Supposed to start at 9 o'clock. What time did it actually start?
This is interesting. We have confirmation because obviously we know half the people and the bands, and there was a list, like a sort of a schedule up in the dressing room. The first band, Pinkbury, was supposed to actually start at 9. So it wasn't doors open at 9. It was the first band starts at 9. And this gig was a free gig.
Yep.
At Mao, because of the promotion we're going to talk about later. And actually, the doors didn't get open until like, what, 9:20, 9:25.
Yeah.
So a bit of and it was actually, I mean, there were a lot of people there, and there was a queue going out of the door into the street, literally. And by the time they got the doors open, in the sort of 5 or 10 minutes before, I mean, people were actually like leaving in groups because they were just really pissed off at waiting. I mean,
fair enough. Right?
I saw like 4 or 5 groups of like 3 or 4 people sort of throw their hands up in the air and leave because they just didn't want to wait any longer. So not a good start, but it turned out to actually be a good night, despite all the things we're going to have a laugh at.
Yeah,
so who are the bands?
Great turnout. It was really packed. So the bands were Pinkberry, Candy Shop, Sonnet, Boys Climb Ropes, and Bomb Shelter.
Yeah, in that order. So
that's why I said it that way. See, professionalism.
I'm very impressed.
So Pinkberry kicked us off.
Oh, we're looking to me for that. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yes. Yeah. So so we got in there again. It was a very busy night. And it was going head-to-head with Hangai.
Yeah,
Hangai. Over at Yuen Tang. So wasn't sure what was going to happen. But, I mean, these are bands that have, you know, a more local sort of in-town Shanghainese young following. So it was...
And it was free.
Yeah, of course. So it was really, really busy. It was good. And Pinkberry were first on. Although the first thing that happened was is that Xiaoyou, the singer, announced that she was completely down with a fever and the flu. And sort of apologised in advance if her voice was cracking or croaking. So... not a good way to start, but actually it didn't affect them that much. I mean, they were quite energetic.
Yeah, I mean, we have sort of slightly differing views on this, I think, because you were sort of down in the middle in the crowd, but I was sort of stood off to one side. And yeah, I mean, they, you know, Xiaoyou was typical Xiaoyou. She was striking around the stage. She looked fantastic, you know, as always. Mm. But I thought the sound was pretty poor, actually. I thought they sounded pretty dodgy.
Yeah, I was down the front, and it was good enough that their kind of fans, which they do have and who were down the front there, enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I didn't think it sounded too bad. I thought there was a lot of energy there. And don't forget, they've recently sort of had a break and then reformed with their label head and Sonnet drummer Lurza, who's also the Mao manager, as their drummer. And they got a new rhythm section, basically. And they've only just started to, like, you know, come back. We've mentioned this.
Yeah.
When they first started coming back with the new bassist and drummer, it seemed like they didn't even know the songs properly, to be honest. To be brutally honest, at first, they were just, like, forgetting sections and playing completely wrong, you know, wrong parts and stuff. But now they're up to the level where the songs are, you know, are coming through. And down in the pit, the Pinkberry fans especially appreciate now a song called Living Live, which is actually one of their most poppy songs out of a fairly poppy set. I mean, but their original material, the material they started with, has a real sort of three-chord punk drive to it from Tony.
Punk, yeah.
But Living Live is one of their more poppy songs, but it's become a kind of, it's almost become their set closing. Well, not the set closing. It's become their kind of anthem live now, and their fans seem to appreciate that.
Yeah.
But up at the back, Brad Ferguson came on the comments and said, from up the back, it sounded out of time, out of tune, and pretty bad, actually.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I mean, I was stood next to Brad, like, during their set, and, it sounded like they were playing about 3 or 4 different songs. But then maybe that serves us right for being stood at the side and not being stood down in the pit.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I'll stick with this. You know, I enjoyed this night. I like Mao as a venue. I like all these bands. But again, we shouldn't be talking about the sound being bad with that equipment. And, it should be good. It should be a minimum standard there.
And it shouldn't matter where we stood, to be honest. I mean, I'm joking by saying that. Maybe it's because we're stood at the side. But, you know, in a venue like that, sound should be fantastic wherever you're stood. It shouldn't matter. But... it was a shame.
Another commenter mentioned as well that the audience there, again, a free night, the audience were mainly there, a lot of them were new, and a lot of them were there to see Sonnet. So it was very much a support act. And next up was Candy Shop.
In Candy Shop, the sound was a lot clearer. I mean, again, actually, I was still sort of stood off to the side for the first part of their set. And the sound was a lot sharper, a lot clearer. And you know, they sort of played a great, well, first half of the set. And then...
yeah, so let's say before we get into it, because like right early off here, we're sort of getting into our chats and digressions. And again, it's going to be a bit negative, but not about the bands. So let's say, first of all, that Candy Shop did what Candy Shop do best, which is they come out there and they're very sort of some people think it's a bit too choreographed, but they come out, you know, they jump, they dance, they give 100%. And the two front men, or front man, the front woman, Sammy, and KK YK, MC YK, the rapper, give it 100% and they put on a show. They're over, definitely. They're jumping, they're leading the crowd, they're fearless, they're looking directly into everyone's eyes. And these are a band that, whether you like the style or not, they consciously go out there and try and put on a professional show, and people appreciate it.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, even the sort of more cynical hipsters among us will begrudgingly say, but they are a good band, even if you don't like the pop aspect.
It doesn't matter. Regardless of how you feel about their sound. I mean, if, you know, sort of cheesy pop and heavy metal combined isn't your thing, then fine. But you can't argue with them. You know,
they're a good band. And across the set, it was building. More and more people were getting into it. Dancing was breaking out, even though it's still the support act. And Candy Shop were doing great until they had to stop and do what, Jake?
A horrible, horrible sellout thing for Jägermeister, who is just excruciating to watch.
So a bit of background. Soma and the company, and Lurzer, who's the manager here. This is going back to the Dream Factory takeover days. They've often done these kind of promotions at shows of varying kinds. And what will usually happen is, we've mentioned this on the blog, they'll usually, in between bands, they'll stop for like 15, 20 minutes and they'll have the promotion section. And what will happen is Lurzer used to come out in his panda suit, and they'd bring some staff out, they'd put on some kind of backing music, and they'd kind of, you know, quite, I mean, we don't like it, but they'd professionally, in its own slot, do a promotion.
Yeah.
Now, we don't like the promotions, you know, and this is a debatable issue about sponsorship that we don't want to go over again, but usually they'll at least kind of give it a dedicated section, come out and give it its
separate
all.
Separate from the band.
Yeah, basically. But this time it was sort of, and I talked to the band, this time it was kind of passed on to Candy Shop. They were told, okay, you've got to do the Jägermeister thing. And it turned out to be this kind of game of charades, right?
Which was just horrible. I mean, it was, yeah, so basically, like, people were given words.
Couples
or phrases.
Couples were invited,
like,
up, yeah.
Yeah, and then one of them had to act out, like, a phrase or a word or whatever to the other one.
And the problem was they brought up people, and was it in both instances or just the second one?
I think
where
both instances. There was
one,
like,
of the two
foreigner. Peoples
was not a native speaker of Chinese, and the words were Chinese vocabulary. Now,
one was like a Shanghainese word.
Yeah, well, this is it. The first one was just pure cheese. The first one picked out the hat was actually "I love Jägermeister." So they had to get up in front of everyone and try and guess. What are the chances? Yeah, on a Jägermeister promotion. But it really dragged on because it was difficult. Or so we thought, because that was then capped when the second one was a couple of whom both were not native Chinese speakers and certainly not Shanghainese. And one of the words was the name of the promotion, Gunomang. Now, Gunomang is a Chinese slang word, which means those kind of busybodies who stand around an accident. In fact, we saw a bunch of them on the way here, on the way to recording this podcast.
KFC bike had taken out another bike.
Yeah,
Hunan Road. We slowed a little bit.
Wukang Road, yeah. At a crossroads, a massive crowd around a policeman and a KFC delivery man catastrophe. But anyway, he was wearing his helmet, so, which is more than I can say for the other person.
If you're
person.
Expecting, like, a spicy chicken burger tonight and it came really late and it was all over the place, now you know why.
That's right. So anyway, Gunomang means those kind of people who gather around accidents and arguments, right? And it's written in Chinese characters, but it's not in Mandarin. You know, they're just like, it's like something like Ya Che Wong or something like that. Or Mang.
I can't remember. Yeah.
Anyway, Gunomang is the slang, and that was the word that was picked out for two non-native speakers who almost certainly didn't know Shanghainese. And so it had to be explained at length to the person acting it out, and eventually they had to give up and pull out a different one. And it literally, that one of the two games for the two bottles of Jägermeister being given away dragged on for like 20 minutes or something. Right. It certainly seemed like that. It might have been 5 or 10. But
if you think us explaining it now is dragging on and going on a bit, imagine what it was like at the time. Partway through a band set.
Yeah.
I mean,
with a gig that had started almost like, you know, an hour after the door was supposed to open.
Patience was wearing thin from certain quarters, I think it's fair to say.
And it utterly poor Candy Shop, you know, they were playing a good set, they were winning people over, and they, through no fault of their own, not their fault, their set got totally scuppered by this. And, you know, we got through it. People started like heckling and shouting out obscene things, me included, to try and lighten the mood, you know, trying to be a cut up. And that diverted the attention from thinking, wow, this promotion sucks, to kind of like, oh, that Andy Best guy's an asshole or whatever, you know.
It was nice of you to take a hit for the team there.
Yeah, well, exactly. Suicide play. But anyway, well, so that was kind of like almost like the defining moment of the gig until later. So now, the dragging on factor. Then Sonic came on, and they had a set full of all kinds of like like interactive videos and
They had like video intros to their songs and stuff. They had a whole bunch of graphics worked out. Their bassist is back, which is
I'll tell you what, it was really good. It made a big difference in the positive.
Yeah, but I mean, I missed the show where they had the weird sort of, I don't know, fake bassist or whatever, like the guy pushing buttons and stuff. But yeah, I mean, but I spoke to Ledza before, and he said, "Yeah, our bassist is back now, and he's back for good, or as long as these things happen."
So anyway, the crowd. We got to be fair right here because we're all been really down at the moment. We enjoyed this night, and although to be honest, we enjoyed it for something that's just coming up next bend. But Sonnet, a lot of the people were there to see Sonnet, and they presented themselves as if they kind of knew and acknowledged that. Right, that here we are, we're Sonnet. And the first couple of songs were great, and the crowd wanted them, and they had they used Mao, they had the stuff on the video screen, they used the stage, and it was pretty good. But as it went on, it got a little bit too self-indulgent, I thought. Like
the a cappella version of
Their most recent song is "Everyone Has a Sorry Yesterday." Sorry being, we've explained this on a previous pod, slang for like when the stars have a scandal, and have to apologize for it later,
like
Edison Chun and his Chun Guanxi and his
naughtiness
pictures scandal, or should I say, and his making the Hong Kong music scene actually interesting for once, and the pop scene that is. And anyway, they have a song about that, and it's only a couple of months old, and it's their new song, and then they dropped all the instruments, came up and did a kind of like a cappella sing-along, letting the audience sing along version of it, as if it was their flagship song of their 10-year major label career, right.
They had a birthday cake for Zhu Baixi as well, didn't they? It was his birthday or something. And that,
It was a big event to people who was probably most of them were seeing them for the first time, actually.
Yeah, and then people, like you say, people would come out to see them, and they went crazy, and they demanded an encore. And then they came back on and did three or four songs, which was like...
Let me restate here, and it's not because we were talking to Lerza and found out that a lot of people within the band listened to the pod and we didn't realise.
Hello,
everyone. Is that, this night was a kind of good night. We're kind of like, focusing on a few things we didn't like, but this was packed. Mao was packed. Everyone was there. Everyone was there with their friends. We met a lot of people we know, other people from the music scene. And we were having a good time,
It was great.
It was a good time, right?
Sonnet played a good... play a good gig as well.
And people, Tom was mentioning, right? The bottom line is people there liked it, right? It was a good night. And then, but suddenly the reason we're sort of letting ourselves be negative now is because this is like recreating the gig, because suddenly something happened next, which suddenly blew us away. What happened, Jake?
Don't know. I'm not sure what you're talking about. No, I'm joking. Boys Climb Ropes took the stage after that.
Yeah, and...
kaboom. They went, they tore shit up, basically.
Yeah,
they barely mentioned Jägermeister, which was a shame. Although they did work it into, the lyrics of "Calculate," which obviously sent the crowd into a Jägermeister fueled frenzy. They came on and they just owned the place, and things just switched up a notch.
Again, here come the superlatives again. But I mean, this was like one of the best performances we've seen at Mao for a long time. So we're enjoying ourselves. It's a great night. We're meeting other people who read the blog, other bloggers.
We're drinking Jägermeister.
Meeting our friends. Yeah, knocking back the Jägermeister. And, it's just great. I mean, it's a good night, despite the things we were talking about. And it's a good show. And it's great that there's such a good turnout for local bands too. And then on came Boys Climbing Ropes. And this reminded me of when Pet Conspiracy played, in that here was a band who came onto a venue the size of Mao and owned it. They filled the stage, their music filled the place, and they were like a worthy headlining act in Mao, and suddenly you were like, you got this kind of like, wow, here I am out at this big gig feeling. They came on Boys Climbing Ropes for the first time that I've seen them, played a kind of little "Here We Are" intro thing. They sort of suddenly exploded onto the stage, then they went into Little Person, their sort of now signature opening track off the new CD, and everyone in there, I mean, there was a little bit of seepage for the whole 11 o'clock go home thing with the locals, but there was still, at least, 300-400 people in there.
Still a decent
size. It was still pretty packed out in a place the size of Mao. And I was immediately looked around to see how all the sort of first time or not very often locals who'd come for the free night were going to react. And everyone in the place was also immediately... had their attention grabbed and was blown away.
Yeah, they couldn't help
by the band. And for the first time, And this even didn't happen when it was slightly more packed down in the pit for Sonnet. For the first time, like a large scale dance slash jumping section started breaking out, and people were really like, really loving it. You know, yeah, a higher standard suddenly came out, and I was just blown away.
Yeah, new song as well. They had a new song up, sung in Chinese.
Yeah.
I think Morgan wrote that one, didn't he?
I'm not sure.
They had a new song, and it's their first song in Chinese, so breaking new ground, his boys kind of wrote.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, they were outstanding. I think we've probably talked at length quite a lot before about how much we love this band, but it was just another notch, another reason to love
them. Again, and before we move on, because we really have wasted all the time, I've forgotten how to speak English again, as I often do. We've used up all our time, basically. But just to reiterate here, I mean, the good points of this gig were so good that we're frustrated by the negative points, because this could have been even better if it had, like, started on time, a little bit better organised on the sound and you know, getting things done in the bar, and not had a massive, badly organised promotion that went on forever. If it had been on time and slightly, you know, more tightly organised, it would have been even more, you know, even more better. I almost said more
even
better.
More better.
It would have been even more fucking better, like.
Exactly.
Exactly. Anyway, we've almost haven't got time to fit in the other gig you went to, which was what?
Come on. Hell United.
So
that was kicked off with FAF supporting, and then the four main, well, there was sort of all four kind of co-headliners, basically. But so we had, who do we have? Six Shot kick things off. So they're local boys. Their set started a little bit oddly, but it really came together throughout and they really got going, and they were great. From the Red, who are from Nanjing, and I was thoroughly impressed by it. The first time I'd seen them, but I thought they were excellent, really good, really tight.
And this is funny because I don't really, I mean, you know, I know you're a connoisseur of all kinds of music and you support local bands, but from meeting you until now, I never had you pegged as a sort of a heavy metal guy. And it was quite interesting to me that regardless of if where everyone else was or what was going on, that you'd kind of specifically go to the Hell United show. And I'm quite impressed with this. You're sort of talking about these metal bands like, you know, I'm impressed. I like this.
No, I've been, it's funny. Like, I mean, I've seen like Six Shot and Chaos Mind and obviously FAF, who I wouldn't really class as a metal band at all, but I've seen Six Shot and Chaos Mind a few times. But I do enjoy them. I think they're great, you know, they're great performers. It was From the Red and October Capricorn who really stood out for me from the Hell United. This was their 1 year anniversary show, so I mean that was another reason for me to go as well. I thought it was important, you know, it was an important milestone for them, and I think they're doing good things. Maybe it's because I hadn't seen those two bands before because they're from out of town, but they were the ones who really stood out for me. Chaos Mind took the kind of sort of headliner sort of slot, as it were, like the sort of peak time slot. And they were, you know, they were Chaos Mind. They were fantastic. Sam, you know, Sam is like the nicest sort of bubbliest guy in person. And he gets up on stage and he just strides around and scares the shit out of you and just has these guttural like roars coming out of him. But they're a great band. And October Capricorn as well, like, so they've everyone was sort of looking around because they have a female lead singer, and everyone was sort of, you know, you could see all these Chinese people, everyone, to be fair, like, whispering to each other, I can't believe she can make that kind of noise, because, you know, it sounded, her vocals sounded exactly the same as Six Shot, or exactly the same as Chaos Mind, or exactly the same as From the Red. She had these amazing, like, you know, sort of guttural kind of screams, but they were all fantastic, and yeah, no, I like a bit of metal now and again, and I thought it was a great gig.
Yeah, now, that reminds me of two things. Talking about female vocalists in the sort of the death metal style, is that one of the biggest sort of missed opportunities for a good band on the scene was the band Tu Bien, Mutant or Mutate, who were a kind of a student metal band from the Yangpu area, and they had to discontinue because they couldn't make their schedules work, and some people had graduated and had jobs, and basically just couldn't get organized. It was just unfortunate. But their singer L, nicknamed L, she's just like, when I saw them play, even when they were on the blog on a video, even though they were kind of raw and a bit new and a bit younger, her like talent going between the song parts, almost some sort of semi-rapped parts, and her death metal gurgling she was just so good at it and had such a presence on stage that it just like made you sort of bow down before them. And the other thing is Chaos Mind. So you mentioned Chaos Mind being good. So heavy metal's heavy metal. It's a very specific genre and it's kind of associated with diehard fans who only like that kind of music. But what Jake's getting at here and what I want to reiterate, the point here is that Chaos Mind are generally good enough as a band and kind of a little bit different sounding, but it's hard to put your finger on it with words, but I think they stand out just as a band.
Yeah.
And that if you don't particularly like a lot of heavy metal or thrash gigs, you could, it's still worth seeing them and you'd be able to appreciate them just as a good live band.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think it's a shame really that you say sort of metal to someone and then they kind of, they just think, oh, I wouldn't like that because it's loud and noisy. You know, this is what Sam says itself, you know, you tell people that you're in a metal band or like you send them some of your track and they're just like, oh, it's too loud, it's too noisy, right? People can't take it. But yeah, definitely. Chaos Mind stand out as a quality band.
Because, I mean, they are heavy, they are noisy in those senses. Yeah, yeah. But I believe they have enough, you know, genuine quality in their sort of songs and presence that if you were just going to go out for a good rock gig or an interesting night out, a Chaos Mind gig, you wouldn't be disappointed. You'd have a really amazing time.
Yeah, definitely. And I did on Saturday. You know, Hell United was fantastic. And, you know, congratulations to them on their 1 year anniversary.
Right, now, there is so much going on over the next 5 days.
Yeah.
Again, even with our, we've got about, like, what, traditionally 15 minutes left here.
That's right.
It's going to be difficult to fit all this in. So what we might do is rush through and then come back to some.
Sounds like a plan. Let's do it. All right.
Anyway, so Jake, we start on Wednesday at Uniontown.
Wednesday night, we've got Julie, how to pronounce her surname? Dwaron, is it? Or Dwaron? Or
depends if you're pronouncing it in English or French way.
Yeah. All right, well, her. Anyway, she's...
what, ouch.
Yeah. And she's supported by Cold Fairyland.
And this is one of the international acts brought in by the Dwe. Yeah. Works for the Dwe Festival.
Canadian folk, indie folk godmother, I believe.
Yeah. And Cold Fairyland,
who are local, well, you're a big fan, aren't you? Do you want to give us a
okay,
bit?
Okay, yeah. I'm always like ragging on world music, so to speak. They're a kind of like a rock band who also have traditional instruments. Lindy's famous for playing the pipa. And a lot of people, I mean, I don't really like that kind of stuff, but these are a great professional band who people who love them absolutely love them. They're certainly of a professional recording and performance standard. And, you know, you could be going there equally to see them as to see Julie Dwaron.
You
know
absolutely.
What I mean? So there's two high quality acts if that's the kind of music you like.
That's at Uniontown on Wednesday. And then the following night at Uniontown is a gig that I am very excited about.
This is funny because we love Archie, we love Splitworks. The Dwe Festival is great this year, and yet we haven't been to any of their gigs yet. And the one we're about to recommend is like pretty much the only thing they're not involved in this week.
Sorry, mate. But we've been bigging up the Dwe Festival as well plenty. Yeah. I think.
So what is it? What's happening on Thursday?
It is the Thermals, who are an excellent sort of, I don't know, pop punk band from the States, and they are being supported by Hedgehog, a new look Hedgehog at that.
With a new bass player.
Right. So, you know, so it's Hedgehog, a Thursday night, but whatever, fuck it. That is a gig to get very excited about as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, so Hedgehog are, if just in case you've been living in Shanghai, you're into music, and at the same time you've just been off your head on drugs or under every single day or
like,
been under
one of
rock.
The most popular bands.
Yeah. Hedgehog are one of the bands from the Beijing scene, maybe the one of the most successful bands to sign with Modern Sky, who, there's a lot of discussion about what that actually means or not. But anyway, they're on Modern Sky. They've done three full-length albums, Happy Idle Kid, Noise Hit World, and Blue Daydreaming, which have gotten progressively, you know, better and all stand out amazingly. And these are just one of the most talked about live acts on the China circuit. And they're coming back into town. They've got a new bassist. They're demoing some new songs off an upcoming album, which they will be back here again for when they tour for the CD. And they're supporting the Thermals. And bit pricey this one, 100 renminbi. But believe me, if you're going to spend 100 renminbi on a gig, these are two bands, and this is a venue where it's going to be amazing.
Exactly, 100 renminbi, and it's on a school night, but fucking hell, it's worth it, definitely. Yeah. So get out to it.
Friday
night, we have got at Uniontown again. Let's go stick with Uniontown. We've got crazy Japanese sort of electro punk dance stuff from Triple Nipples, who just look properly insane, which, you know, is kind of good.
Yeah, that's going to be a good night.
And then
at Live Bar,
over at Live Bar, we've got Monroe Starr and Friends. I say and Friends because I'm not really sure who the other bands are, but yeah, Monroe Starr
up in Yangpu. So if you prefer your sort of like your traditional sort of catchy traditional rock, rock and roll, over your sort of costumed art rock madness,
Japanese insanity,
then you can go over to Live Bar. So both good. Again, if you want to see these sort of like more eclectic international acts that Juera bringing over here and you haven't been yet, this could be the chance.
Definitely. Or you could wait until Saturday when there's a whole bunch of like...
This is where I might go, actually. This is where I think I'm... for the first time ever...
Pick?
For the first time... Yeah, because my pick for this week is Hedgehog, of course, but...
Right.
This could be... This is a legendary moment. For the first time on the blog, are you listening, Dan Shapiro... Or on the podcast, I'm going to recommend a gig at Logo.
Holy shit. That would be who exactly?
Well, on Saturday night at Logo, there is, a Juera Festival sort of eclectic night. And it's, there's a few people playing, some DJs as well. But the two sort of like main bands playing.
It's not just some DJs. It's DJ Sacco and DJ Desert Fuck Eagle.
Sacco, that guy.
Desert Fuck Eagle, who, without wanting to give away his true identity, is a big fan of the pod, I know.
Yeah. But so, people were knowing. The two bands are... I was going to be careful how to pronounce this. Jehoshaphat Blow and the Blah Blah Blahs, who are a kind of garage punk sort of Logo band style band. That was a really bad description. But, a kind of like straight up sort of in your face... sort of like rock band of the kind who you'd expect to find at Logo. But then headlining is it Norway? From Norway?
Sure, why not? Yeah. Somewhere in Scandinavia, yeah.
Yeah, is Dead Elvis and his one-man grave.
Yes, indeed.
So this is a guy playing sort of like... essentially what? Like
Indie-ish
punk, like, Elvis-esque.
Sort of rockabilly kind of stuff.
Rockabilly, yeah. Dressed as Elvis with sort of like a zombie mask on.
He's possessed by the spirit of the king. And he's bringing his music back and putting it on at Logo.
Yeah, now, the interesting thing about this is actually very Logo. The two bands, it's very Logo, the kind of things you'd see there. Except in my view, this time, kind of like good enough that you really do want to not miss it. You know, this is the kind of night. I'm interested in these bands, and Logo is the kind of place you'd want to see them. And this is the first time where I've just sort of thought to myself, you know what, I specifically want to... I want to go there.
You want to go to a gig at Logo?
I do.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen, a watershed moment on the pod.
Yeah.
Also going on Saturday, also part of the Juera Festival, we've got Omnipotent Youth Hotel over at the Zhejiang Dream Factory. And these are, they're from Hebei, right? These guys? And it's kind of, bluesy jazz kind of stuff.
Juera's got like two gigs on at the same night in different venues, like competing with itself or...
Sort of, yeah.
Complementing.
Yeah, I mean, they're sort of slightly different types of music. Mm. Plus, the Logo gigs always kick off a bit later on, so you could possibly catch both, I reckon. You could... Joker is supporting on Omnipotent Youth Hotel. So let's say that kicks off around 9 o'clock. You catch a bit of Joker, a little bit of Omnipotent Youth Hotel, dive into a taxi, and possibly still catch a bit of Dead Elvis. I'm not suggesting
that. Yeah, well, Omnipotent Youth Hotel and Joker, so that's going to be like blues and blues/psychedelic.
Right.
Whereas Logo is going to be sort of like, you know, dive bar, garage punk and indie rockabilly style, which again, with this particular lineup sounds very, very appealing to me. Is there anything else happening? What's on at Yu Yun Tang on Saturday?
Yu Yun Tang, Snipe Drive, who are Finnish, I think, Finnish emo band. And they're being supported by Da
Fresh, who are a local kind of like rock version of a boy band, I guess. The last time we saw these at Dream Factory, they were very good. I mean, they've really got their shit together. Very polished. They all look the part, and they play very tightly, and they play very well. But what they do very well is a sort of relentless barrage of syrupy boy band ballads.
Yeah.
If that's your thing, they're very, very good at it. And they are still guitar-driven and very much indie, as opposed to they're not like, you know, Backstreet Boys who... apparently might also be coming to Shanghai on on the day. I don't want to promote Backstreet Boys on the
podcast. That's why the podcast is really taking a break. We're just so excited about Backstreet
Boys.
Yeah,
we're going to see Backstreet Boys and then we're going to be like burnt out for a month. That's it. We're going to be so over the top excited. I don't know.
Also on Saturday.
But Kevin isn't part of the band anymore, and so it's not really the same thing.
Let it go, Andy. Let it go. It's over. Also on Saturday, over at Mauer Lifehouse, the Secret Machines are in town. These are sort of...
Yeah, quite a high-profile American rock band.
Here. Yeah, they play sort of like old-school kind of, I don't know, Led Zeppelin-esque kind of rock. And in support of them is the Fever Machine.
Right? And this is Dan Shapiro's old band, the Rogue Transmission, who were, you know, slowly but steadily climbing up, gaining support, put out a CD and started to fill their gigs and that. Then they had some sort of unavoidable sort of breaks because they were, you know, members went back to home countries or took holidays and that. And then they've had some time to sort of contemplate what to do. And then Dan's come out with the announcement that they're basically, you know, leaving it and starting a retooled new band. And that is the Fever Machine. And they're playing in support of the Secret Machines in Mao. So new band, new project, debuting on the Mao stage. So obviously they've got a, you know, good self-belief there.
Yeah.
But I mean, we've not heard anything of them. So that's going to be a good night too, you know.
Actually, I've just remembered as well that I think on the Friday, I think the Fever Machine might be playing at Logo as well. I'm now could possibly just be making all this up now, so I'll put this in underneath on the blog when we put the podcast up.
You can almost hear at the end of the season the energy's draining. We've got but really this is just a real slog because there's just so much happening this weekend, you know. And it's all, and the good thing is, it's a combination of not only, it's not just a kind of a weekend invasion of international bands, which is of course a good thing as well. But you know, at every step of the way, be it at the Mao gig, up in Live Bar, part of the Duer Festival, there's an equal representation of and involvement by local acts. Absolutely. So I mean, this is really a great weekend, and Saturday is jam packed. If you don't go to see some live music this weekend, then you're a cunt.
Absolutely, spot on.
There you go. I thought I'd, you know, get the C word in at some point.
No, yeah, well, let's end the series on a high note by,
calling all our listeners cunts.
Well, I think all of them.
Not all of them. The ones
who
don't go out,
are probably going to go to live music. So well done for not being a cunt. right, on that note, let's, what are we going to play out with?
Well, first of all, we did say that we'd try and, like, rush through all these, and then if we had time to, you know, go back and chat about one of them.
Have we got time?
So what I want to say is, no, we don't.
All right.
Just thought I'd mention that. So again, our pick, all this stuff going on, our pick is going to be Hedgehog Supporting the Thermals. So we're going to play you out of a track off their second album, Noise Hit World.
Yep.
And but we're not going to, you know, rehash the usual singles. We're going to pick something just off the which would be the B-side in the LP days. It's called Apart.
Yeah, because you're going to be apart from us for a little while, because this is the end of the second series of the podcast.
Yeah, and do we have any closing statements before we take a break? Because you don't know what will happen. We could both die in freak yachting accidents or olive-choking martini accidents in the meantime, couldn't we?
There's a very high possibility of that, I'm not going to lie to you. Yeah.
That's right. We could die of air kiss overdose, Jägermeister poisoning.
Yeah, I was going to go on a Jägermeister binge after this, actually.
We could, like, trip in the street because of wearing oversized Crocs. Rubber shoes. Yeah, exactly, Crocs. Yeah. Trip over them, fall down, hit our head and die of a subdural hematoma. I learned that from watching CSI this week.
What, did someone trip over wearing Crocs?
No, but they're always saying subdural hematoma, which is like bleeding inside the skull or whatever, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's a nice
So there you go. So anything could happen. So just in case we never ever come back, I'd just like to say, yeah, it's been... it's been educational.
Is that your end of series cliffhanger that we might never come back?
That's right. That's the cliffhanger, yeah. Will or won't we be killed in a freak yachting capsize, drop martini choke on olive, hit my head off some Crocs and get hit by a bus accident?
The only way you'll know is by staying tuned to kungfology.com.
Goodbye.
Bye.
now ready for you. Your girl seems so sexy, girl.